There are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns.
It is indeed that time of the week where we have a look at an issue that we want to know more about. And this morning we're focusing on tickets, tickets to concerts, to sporting events, to shows, pretty much anything really. I wonder whether you've sat poised in front of your computer screen, fingers at the ready, logged in, ready to go once the clock ticks over to the designated time and tickets for your chosen event start to go on sale. And whether you have, like me, sat there in amazement that despite your very fast fingers and immaculate timing, 5-10 seconds in and everything is gone. Someone was a lot faster than you. How can that be? How does it happen? If you read social media, it happens all the time. And yet, miraculously, just within minutes, the very same tickets you were trying to buy turn up on a resale site. The only problem is that they're usually a lot more expensive. So that's my experience. I wonder what your experience is. This morning, we've invited Jay Felix, who's the owner of Supertix, which describes itself as a ticket concierge. And he's also president of the Ticket Brokers Association of Australia. He's in the studio to tell us how it all works and to take your questions. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Ali. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for coming in. I have to ask you, a ticket concierge, is that a scalper by any other name?
In Australian context, you could probably call it that. I guess the market for ticket resale in Australia isn't as advanced as other jurisdictions such as the UK, the US. The US, they're more familiarly known as ticket brokers. I guess equating that with stock brokers, brokers of any other commodity, which is essentially what we're talking about. We created the association, I guess, as an umbrella organisation which represents individuals, entities engaged in ticket resale.
So you've got like all the various sites, the Viagogo, the Ticketmasters resale, all of those. Are they all members of yours?
They are ticket exchanges. So slightly different concept. They are not members of TBA.
Explain that difference to me, because they're the ones that most people would know of. They're the ones that come up when you first search.
They are. They are there. They allow brokers such as myself to list their inventory on them, as distinct from an individual broker or company, which essentially markets their own allocation either on the internet or through private network of clients, which is predominantly what I do.
So in essence, you buy your own tickets or you access your own tickets, and then if I buy a ticket from you, I'm buying it from you. I'm not buying it from, you know, JJ, who might be in Adelaide, who's put his tickets up on your site.
Exactly. And generally, you'll pay 15% less. You won't be paying a brokerage, a fee through one of these ticket exchanges. If you deal with directly through a broker, if you
15% less than what? Because I'm quite sure that's not going to be 15% less than the face
price. Invariably, it probably won't be. However, you don't, from my experience, make money on everything. The reason why I'm here today is to portray that we have a voice, and I guess to dispel some of the myths that you hear in the media. The media will hammer the point across that, ticket resale, tickets bought off the internet are fraudulent, or the reason why an event sells out so quickly is because all the ticket, all the resellers have bought them. And it's not entirely accurate.
Well, hang on. Let's take it step by step here. So I'm poised in front of a computer, as I was for an Ed Sheeran concert, and literally I had three devices, and within 10 seconds, all of them were telling me that they were sold out. You're standing in front of a computer, and it's about to tick over to the time that the tickets go on sale for whatever it is. What are you doing?
It's most likely I would have probably participated in a pre-sale.
Okay, so that still has the same thing. That also ticks over.
Well, it's not entirely the pre-sale. You'll generally get more tickets than you would at the general public. And again, why it's so grey, why you don't know that, is because the promoters, the event organisers, don't disclose to the general public on the ticket agency website how many tickets are going to be allocated for the pre-sale, how many tickets are going to be allocated to credit card companies, how many are going to be held back, how many are going to be put into packages, which you have to pay, obviously, significantly more for a lanyard, early entry, fairly immaterial stuff. And I think at the end of the day, you'd come to the conclusion that, wait, not all of the tickets are being snapped up by ticket resellers.
But hang on, let's go back. Let's say, Okay, so you're there for a presale. I'm obviously a frustrated ticket buyer because I've also done the presale. Not hard to sign up to a presale. You usually can just sign up, you get a security code, whatever, off you go. You sign up for presale. What are you doing when the clock ticks over and that presale opens?
There's nothing unique to what I'm doing.
How many people work for you? How many computers have you got on the go?
I'll be completely honest with you. My setup is not by any means sophisticated. If I need to satisfy, and as I said in the beginning, most of my orders go to already established private and corporate clients. So I'll obtain my allocation through by getting my friends to help, my mum sometimes helps. Friends and family.
You don't use bots? You don't use automated
that's
software?
That's a great question. I don't use bots. None of our members use bots. Our code of ethics specifically prohibits the use of bots.
But it's not illegal in Australia.
It should be. And Senator Xenophon has put forward a motion.
Well, he's tried to get a motion up, but he hasn't got a lot of interest.
Well, the Senate passed it. From my understanding, it wasn't supported by the government. But I guess the media is coming at the angle that ticket brokers use bots and it's unfair. And they've got legislation in the US and the UK, and essentially from what my understanding is, Senator Xenophon wants provisions in Australia to mirror those, even though there's no real empirical evidence. We haven't heard Ticketmaster or Ticketek come out and say, bots are an issue. And I wish you the best of luck in designing a bot that's going to circumvent that capture, that ridiculous capture.
But it's been done. It's been done. I mean, it was done in the US. That's what prompted the legislation. They actually got around every single one of the I am not a robot.
That's right. That was capture, which was, Mac 1. And now you've got Google owns Recapture, which is a lot more sophisticated. And if you can get around that, I wish you the best of luck. But we do not endorse bots. Nothing like that.
But as I said, they're not illegal yet in this country. George in Hawthorne. Hi, George.
Hi, Ali. I'm just ringing because I'm a day trader.
Yep. Stocks, I assume you mean?
Stocks, yes. Like, I buy shares, yep. I sell shares.
Yep.
Some I hold for a while, but I'm purely trying to make profit on this. Like, when I buy and sell a share, I'm trying to make money.
Sure.
And when I have a share, you don't have it.
Yes.
To a point.
Yes, to a point. So, I can understand that.
Yes. So my question to both of you is, because one of you's a ticket broker, another one's from the media, why is it that you talk about us differently to what you would be talking about brokers?
I guess that, I'll put that to Jay, but, and Jay, you would consider yourself to be exactly the same as George, wouldn't you? In the sense that you're just a broker.
I would say so, in the context that tickets are a commodity. They're able to be traded. There really shouldn't be any difference. So I guess the main reason people are so up in arms is that there's a lot of emotion attached to it. And I guess that's where you might, if there was a differentiation between stock trading and trading in tickets, that's probably the point you'd bring up.
George, what about the difference, though, that stocks are not at a set value? So they're listed at a particular price, the initial public offering price, and then off they go. They can go up or down. A ticket is issued with a face value. So Ed Sheeran reckons that his supporters, his fans should pay $170, $270, whatever it is, for a ticket to see him. That's the value of the ticket. It's not something that, is there openly to go on an open market.
So you're saying that an Ed Sheeran ticket shouldn't be able to sell for less than its value?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
not as a member of the media, but as a private person who's quite keen to go to some concerts, I think that...
But you're saying that you couldn't actually give a ticket away then, or you couldn't sell it for $5. You'd have to sell it at the specific tradable price.
No, well, Jay, I'll bring you in here too, but isn't the point that surely you can sell a ticket for a reasonable amount, for example, all the various sites put on their fees and their handling charges and that sort of thing. And I guess the closer that you get to an event, maybe there's a reasonable amount that you put on as a markup because of demand. For example, if there's a prohibited event where you're not allowed to resell a ticket for, I think it's over, Jay, correct me, is it 15% above if it's a prohibited event?
For Victoria, it's nothing at all. They cannot be resold full stop. In Queensland, I believe it's 10%.
So you can only put an extra 10% on top.
Correct. But yeah. I guess what George is getting at is that there are market forces at play that are beyond the reach of legislation. I mean, if legislation is ultimately, and we'll get to this, is ultimately imposed, it's not going to be to the protection of consumers. If anything, it will be for the protection of event promoters.
Well, George, thank you for your call. Let's look at that, because by making an event a prohibited event where you can't put a markup on a ticket price, depending on what state you're in, does that not work?
For whom?
The consumer or for the promoter? Well, I mean, the promoter's not getting the extra money that you're getting.
No. Well, perfect example of where legislation steps in favour of the promoter is the AFL Grand Final. The legislation prohibits the resale of Grand Final tickets. The only method by which a member of the general public can obtain a ticket to the Grand Final is by purchasing a Grand Final package, which has a nice breakfast and you get a record. And they start from, I think, around $1,400, whereas our members of TBA have experienced instances where we've had requests from clients for tickets and we've been in possession of tickets and they have sold for around the $400, $500 mark consistently below what the AFL otherwise charges. But we're obviously, we don't, and I'm not admitting to an indictable offence here, I haven't done it, but they are significantly cheaper on the free market than they are through official AFL channels.
But it's not, even if it's a prohibited offence, it's not illegal to resell it for a cheaper price, is it?
You're not allowed to advertise it full stop. So you'll find instances where people are trying to list packages they've purchased from the AFL office or their AFL ticket and they get torn down by Gumtree or eBay. So the AFL's got a pretty firm grip on that event, rightfully so or not. The legislation in that instance isn't brought in for the benefit of consumers.
Well, it is. I mean, that's the reason behind it, isn't it? It's to stop the ticket scalping. And there's a reason for that, and that's because too many people can't get tickets to things that they want to go to. Let's just take a couple more calls, Jay. Ruth in North Carlton. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I know it's not quite the same as what Jay's talking about because he's buying his tickets direct from, say, Ticketmaster, but the resellers like Ticketmaster Reseller and Viagogo are just seriously plagued with fraud. We had an experience earlier this year where my daughter bought a ticket that she was denied entry to the concert, and engaging with one of those providers is a nightmare. The only
because they do have a refund guarantee, don't they?
Well, you try and work through that.
Did you?
The only way we could contact the Viagogo is offshore. So the only
they're based in Geneva, I think.
Was by Twitter, by putting out, you know, a this is a problem. And then the only way we got them to engage in a conversation was by going through the credit card dispute process.
Yeah.
And so, at least people should always buy these sorts of tickets with a credit card, not using a debit, because you at least get the protections of the credit card where you can dispute the transaction and your bank will fight for you. So you just call up your bank, say, I'm disputing the transaction. They will go through and deal with the other side's bank, and that's the only way we got the money back.
Oh, Ruth, that's really interesting advice. I'm sure it did take you a long time, but Jay, that's one of the issues. You end up on one of these resale sites, and even though you know that you're buying it from someone who's listed it there, they provide all these guarantees. At least, in words, all these guarantees are there.
Yeah, and aside from any representations they make about what guarantees they provide, enshrined under the Australian Consumer Law are consumer guarantees that the product is going to be as described and that in the event of a major failure, you'll be entitled to a refund. And that applies even to Viagogo, given their extent to which they're reaching to Australian consumers. I haven't personally dealt with an instance where I've been rejected at the gate from having purchased tickets from Ticketmaster Resale or via GoGo.
Or any of the other sites. It does potentially happen to everybody.
But I would imagine outfits such as those would have pretty robust internal dispute mechanisms, which even in the event that they fail, as Ruth pointed out, she's resorted to contacting her credit card issuer, and that's obviously paid off for her.
There's another question, though. I mean, you say that you don't use automated software to buy your tickets. You use friends, you use your mum, that sort of thing. How do you possibly make a living? Surely you can't get enough tickets to things that are in that much demand just doing that method. Surely you must be more, mechanised than that, if I can put it that way.
I do not profess to be the most sophisticated broker by any means. I've been in the business for a while, since 02, 03. I started with a little eBay store, got exposure that way, got repeat clients through that. Some of them were corporate, and I largely subsist by satisfying my existing client base, with the exception that, should there be a surplus in tickets, I will list them on ticket exchanges. And
so you'll actually use a ticket exchange?
I will, yeah. So I'll put some of my allocation on there. I pay my GST, I pay income tax, I'm fully compliant with my obligations.
I wasn't questioning that, Jay, at all. David in Canterbury, good morning.
Good morning. There is this. What you're doing is not new. Since 1990, there's been Linda at Safe Time Services been doing exactly the same thing, and the concierge of every hotel knows about Safe Time Services. They've been around. I've bought tickets from them for many, many years, and they only whack 10% on.
Yeah. So, but David, there's numerous places where you can go. I mean, you could sit here and list them all morning, really. Have you've had good experiences?
I bought hundreds and hundreds of tickets from Linda, and I can tell you now, being one of the oldest brokers of tickets in Australia, she has corporate clients like you would not believe.
I think, Jay, that's, you said that you work off clients, so you've got clients who don't want to sit there poised when the tickets go on sale, and they say, can you get me some?
Well, that's exactly right. It's a convenience aspect. Most people that I've dealt with are more than comfortable paying a reasonable premium.
Do you ever miss out?
Do I miss out on tickets?
Do you go in and say, okay, Ed Sheeran, I need 20 tickets, and you don't get them?
Well, that happens more often than you'd imagine. And it's not, it's due solely to errors on the website by the ticketing agent. And what's unique about Australia is that the ticketing agent is solely determined based on where the venue is held. So if you've got an event at Rod Laver Arena, it will be Ticketek. You cannot buy tickets from anyone else, which is different from jurisdictions such as the UK, where each ticket agency gets its own allocation. And depending how good the website is, whether it can handle the traffic, that determines what future allocations they get. It's a lot easier at the consumer level, and it means that people don't have to resort to the secondary market as instinctively.
Mm. A couple of text messages here. Tom says that the ABC show The Checkout did a story on Viagogo.
Apparently, Jerry Springer.
Very enlightening, so check that one out. In the good old days, scalpers were looked on with some amusement and fondness. After all, they had to put in personal effort, like sleeping out at the MCG to get the tickets, but this present system, with all its technological advantages, changes the game. Another says, Jay, that what this man is doing is morally wrong. Greg says, I don't think scalper is the right term for these guys. Vulture is more appropriate.
That's nice, vulture.
Vulture. Yeah. Look, I think a lot of people do get incredibly disappointed when they can't get the ticket that they want.
I know. And again, the instinctive response and the response that the media is trying to drum into us is it's all because of ticket resellers. But it couldn't be further from the truth. If the promoter implemented ticket distribution methods that were more secure, you wouldn't have as much fraud. So
what else can they do, though? Because they limit the number of tickets now, don't they? They don't. I mean, let's say you can only buy four tickets. Pre-sale for Ed Sheeran, I think, was four tickets. So, I mean, how do they get around it?
The only way they can do it is by restricting who can collect the tickets or who can present on the night with tickets. So we're talking about impacting on the transferable nature of the tickets.
Which is just print them out at home, basically.
No, in that you wouldn't have printed home tickets. You would have a credit card holder is the only person who can collect the tickets.
So like an airline ticket in some cases. You must prove that you've got the credit card that bought those tickets.
Pretty much. And you've got technology like that.
Where would that leave you?
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. It would significantly reduce the amount of supply in the market.
Or you'd have to run around at all these various events and show your credit card as your customer went in.
Well, that, and it's just expensive for the promoter to implement, and it doesn't work 100%. So you'll see in the instance where you had the U2 implemented a paperless ticketing concept for one of its American concerts, and the amount of time people had to spend in queue, they missed the first act because people were still at the gates having their credit card scanned. So, yeah, to what extent the promoter can implement more rigid ticket distribution methods, that's like to the extent that they're more lax, you'll have more tickets appearing on the secondary market.
Mm. There's a lot of people who are not happy with some of the resellers like Viagogo. Michael in Yarraville. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how's it going, Ellie? Jane.
Hello.
Just to say, in 2015, for the 50th anniversary Grateful Dead concerts up in Chicago, I paid just under $2,000 for a ticket. I would have happily paid $5,000.
Wow.
In fact, a bit more.
What was the face value?
I think probably about $200, $250.
Gosh.
Yeah, no, but understand it's all about the demand and supply schedule. I mean, at one level, Jay, I don't mind saying you people annoy the living daylights out of me. At another level, I love you.
Michael, I take your point that at least you can get access to something that you might not have been able to originally, but does it somehow astound you that all these tickets can go so quickly? I mean, do you, like me, think, hang on, there can't be that many people who are faster than me all the time?
Ellie, can I tell you, with the Grateful Dead tickets for the 50th anniversary, when they went on sale in the United States, okay, the three concerts, 70,000 people per concert, so 70,000 tickets, right? Bang, they went on sale. Ticketek USA literally melted down. The whole thing stopped. The level of demand was that high. Yeah, look, it's phenomenal. A lot of people, like, and you know it yourself, Ed Sheeran, my daughter, exactly the same thing. There was my daughter, her mother, and a couple of mates.
Oh, gosh, that was my house.
Yeah.
And did you get tickets?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I think for the second and third concerts.
All right. Well.
They wound up getting them. But, all easier said than done.
Yeah, no, definitely. Your family is better than mine. I'm feeling like a complete and utter failure. I think, Jay, the point is, isn't it, that there's still work to be done. There's got to be ways to improve this.
If by way of parting comment, I can provide some tips to people in future to perhaps assist them in acquiring tickets more efficiently.
As long as you don't say go to you.
Yeah. No. Sign up for either My Ticketek or My Ticketmaster account. You can specify your favourite artists and they'll notify you in the event of a pre-sale. Look into whether there is a fan club. Often you'll have artists such as Justin Bieber. They have a fan club which enable you to get first access to tickets, which obviously the fan club costs. Don't assume there will only be one show. In the event of Ed Sheeran, even though the promoter Frontier Touring rolled them individually, think in the back of your mind,
They're going to announce another one.
And finally, keep checking as tickets might be available later.
Mm. I will tell you one story that I had tickets to see Coldplay and I bought them the day they came out, was very clever, and then wanted to go again and bought them 2 days beforehand. Same price, better seats.
That's it.
So there you go. Jay, thank you very much for coming in
pleasure.
And taking our questions about it all. Good luck to all of those people out there who are very keen to try and buy tickets. And I guess, you know, buyer beware, certainly, if you're working on a separate site. Jay, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Jay Felix is a president at the Ticket Brokers Association of Australia, talking there in our known unknown segment.